Welcome to Better Cybersecurity, the ISF podcast. I'm your host, Steve Durbin.
ISF Chief Executive Steve Durbin is an expert in leadership, business culture transformation, and cyber strategies for today's top enterprises. I'm producer Tavia Gilbert. In today's episode, Steve speaks with Martina Navratilova. Martina is one of the most accomplished tennis players of all time, holding the record for most open-era titles and Wimbledon wins. Since retiring from tennis, Martina has been a vocal advocate for gay rights and cancer awareness. In her conversation with Steve, she talks about the importance of screening and early detection, and why self-awareness and kindness to yourself are essential when you're going through something difficult. The two also discuss adapting to change, how to read your opponents, and why rehearsing matters, both on the tennis court and in the world of cyber. Martina also gives the audience a piece of advice on staying resilient in the face of uncertainty, from the perspective of a champion.
Martina, fantastic to have you join me here on the podcast today. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Now, everybody knows you as a world-class tennis player. You're now an ambassador for the sport. You still play numerous exhibition matches, and you tirelessly promote issues that are very close to your heart, one of which I wanted to start with is your cancer journey, if we could. And the reason for that is that I've recently been diagnosed myself with prostate cancer. I had absolutely no symptoms. It came as a little bit of a shock. But at the ISF, we have something like 28,000 people who use our services all around the world. The majority of them are men. A lot of them will be in their late 40s and moving into that danger zone, if you like, from a prostate cancer perspective. And I was wondering, given your experiences here, whether you could share some insights for people who might be listening to this in terms of the need for testing, in terms of the journey itself.
My first insight would be that you need to have more women. The ratio needs to change. Because you need more diversity, right? Because people see different things, different times. They're looking at the same screen, but see different things.
No, absolutely right.
So there's that. But as far as the health is concerned, and guys are, I think, worse than women. They feel stuff and they don't pay attention. The sooner you find out something's wrong, the better off you are, whether you have symptoms or not. I found out about my cancer. I went like this when Chris Evert told me actually something about her health. And I went like this with my left thumb. I'm like, oh, this feels a little bit bigger, the lymph node. So I thought, oh, I just had a shingles shot. So I thought maybe it was from that.
Right.
2 weeks later, I'm checking. It's still there. So then I call my doctor, have a biopsy, find out it's cancer. So then I have a test to see where the tumor is, because it's somewhere in my throat. And then when my throat lit up, my right breast lit up as well. So I had two cancers that were completely unrelated to each other. But I caught both of them soon because I paid attention to this. Right. I didn't feel anything.
Yeah,
I didn't feel the lump growing, the tumor growing on my tongue. Didn't feel anything. The sooner you find out something's wrong, something's not right, the better the outcome overall, whether it's surviving or quality of life, longevity, all of that is much, much better if you get it sooner rather than later. So to everybody, I say do not ignore any symptoms and get that yearly checkup if you can afford it. I think a lot of people don't go to the doctor so they can't afford the cure anyway. But for most people, it's a must.
Yeah.
Do that yearly checkup.
And I think for men as well, because we traditionally don't go there. We personally, again,
you suck it up, right?
I hate doctors. Try to stay away from them as much as possible. But the statistics speak for themselves. One in eight will have some form of prostate cancer.
Yeah, and for women, it's breast cancer. And mine, they couldn't find it. They only found it because they were looking for the throat. So yes, it's essential to pay attention, do those yearly checkups, especially when you get to a certain age. And if there's nothing wrong, great, you're relieved. And if they find something, then you can knock it out.
That's
sooner.
Right. Deal with it sooner than later. Yeah. One of the things that I have found is that it's a very emotional journey and it requires a lot of mental resilience along the way. And I'm only at the beginning of that. And I think there will probably be a number of people listening to this who will find it difficult to even imagine what that might be like, because I think unless you've actually lived it, you can't relate to it. How did you manage through those initial stages?
I just concentrated on the end result, on the cure. Okay, which way is the best way to go? And then once you make a plan, you stick with it and you do your part. You can't control anything else, but you do your part, which is you get the rest, you take care of yourself, you get the sleep, you take the meds, you have to trust in the process and just one day at a time. But I knew the end result was the end of my treatment was going to be March 14th. So that was that. I had 35 proton treatments.
Right.
5 days a week, yep. 7 weeks. So I was literally one down, 34 to go. I was counting every single time. And when I got halfway, when I got to 17 to go, I'm halfway there. And when I got to single digits, okay, and then 1 week, it was, you just see the end result. So you concentrate on the end result, but meantime, you do everything you can today to mm-hmm. get better.
So it's about focus, isn't it? It's about that self-awareness as well in terms of how you're feeling and just accepting and being kind to yourself.
I had to be. I had chemo as well, and it just knocked me on my ass. So I brought my yoga mat, and I only sat on it a couple times. In 7 weeks, I did 30 minutes of yoga total in one walk. Right. I had no energy for anything because between the proton and the chemo, I had no strength. So you just do what you can do, and less is more. You don't push it. You be kind to yourself. You really have to be kind to yourself, whether it means surrounding yourself with people or being alone.
Yeah,
I wanted to be alone most of the time. So that way the energy is all mine.
Yes.
So whatever works for you, but definitely be selfish because it's not selfish, it's self-care at that point.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that for a lot of, certainly cybersecurity people, they are used to being selfless. They're always pushing the envelope. They're used to working the long hours. They're used to trying to combat whatever it is that might be thrown at them. And this is somewhat different, isn't it? This is allowing yourself to behave differently.
Right, exactly. Give yourself permission to take care of yourself. Because if you don't, then you're going to die or you're going to have a bad outcome and you can't do your job anyway. So what is most important to you, you have to take care of yourself before you can take care of anything or anyone else.
Yeah, it's making sure that you're in the best place, isn't it? To do whatever it is needed. And it seems to me that there are some parallels there with your profession. You spent as well your career mastering strategy, focus, adaptability. You talk about what I would call situational awareness when you step onto a court, so you're aware of all of the things that are going on. And there are some parallels there with cybersecurity, because certainly we do need to think about strategy. We do need to anticipate. We need to be hugely resilient. And so I wanted to ask you, one of the big challenges we face is trying to read our opponent. We simply sometimes don't know where they're coming from. We can have all of the threat intelligence in the world, but we don't know who's actually behind it. And we have to stay one step ahead. You had to do something similar. You were known for reading your opponents very well, staying one step ahead on the court. Any tips that you can give our listeners for the sorts of things that perhaps that you went through to achieve that they might be able to emulate?
I just watched The House of Dynamite, by the way, on the flight over here. And I think we tend to overreact, to overcorrect, and less is more in just about everything in life. Less is more. You can always add to it, but if you go too far, you've gone too far. I would say be nimble, be present, know what your strategy is, try to figure out what the other strategy is, but at the same time, don't overthink it and try to do the right thing, if that makes sense. You know, when you learn how to ski, you want to lean away from the hill when you need to lean down the hill to put the weight on the leg that controls your speed. When you're driving and you got into a skid, you overreact and you start spinning like this. So less is more so often. And so I would say don't overreact. And if you feel too much pressure, then step away or say, okay, what is the most important thing right now? And concentrate on that rather than try to solve all the issues at the same time.
Yeah.
Of course, it's so complicated. But that's when, again, having a team helps. Mm-hmm. So you can ask questions. So what is the most likely outcome? What is the best way forward? But I would say always err on the side of doing less rather than too much.
A lot of athletes that I've spoken to talk about muscle memory. To get them through some of those more sort of hairy moments when things are perhaps not going the way that they might have anticipated. In the cybersecurity space, we obviously try to build a similar kind of thing in terms of rehearsing for the day that comes, even though we hope it never will. Any advice you've got in terms of how to build that other than just keep practicing?
Practice. There's no substitute for that. But of course, there's no substitute for a real situation. But then you guys are studying for something that you hope will never happen. So just go back to basics, go back to what you know works and trust in your instincts and trust in yourself. And then, of course, you have to trust the people around you. I think guys are better at this than women, that we overanalyze.
Right.
I think guys are a little bit better in that they can narrow it down a little bit better. But you need both. it's, again, not overreact and don't panic. The thing is, you just really have to stay in the moment. When you play tennis, it's just the ball. It's just the ball. What's the most important thing? The ball. And you can be in the perfect position to hit the ball, but if you hit it too late, you hit it too late. So you concentrate on what you need the most, which is, in tennis, it's the point of contact. So what do you do this next second that matters? You have to really stay in the moment and not magnify things that are right here in front of you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. And you mentioned this team issue a few times now. Many people listening may think tennis, that's a solo sport, right? You get out there on the court with your racket and it's just you against the other person. But behind the scenes, of course, there's so much teamwork with coaches, with doubles partners, if you're playing doubles, and the overall support team that keeps you in the peak of condition. And in cybersecurity, trust between people, the systems, that's also crucial. So what's your perspective on building the right team?
You have to know what your strengths and weaknesses are. And then the team is having people that plug in those holes and trusting that. In tennis, it's having people that know their stuff. And bottom line is, you need to know what works for you. So I'm going to have a coach that tells me 10 things and three or four, I'm like, not even close. I'm not feeling that. Three, I may try later, but for these two or three, I'm ready right now and learn new things and try to implement them in the match. For me, I was able to change something on my stroke and do it tonight or tomorrow in a match situation. Do it under pressure. So you have to trust that. But on the team's part, you just have to trust each other. Still, though, at the end of the day, if you're the big boss, you're making the decisions, you have to trust your gut. So you take all the information in again, but you have to say, okay, what really feels right with my knowledge, with my intelligence, with my history, what is the best way forward? So you have to trust your gut rather than your heart or your brain. Right. Yeah. So the brain dictates, but the gut will not fail you. So yeah, trust the gut.
Over your career as well, the game changed significantly. You know, new rackets, new training tools, new data, all of those sorts of things. You kept evolving to stay on top, I would imagine. And in the cyberspace, we face a similar kind of thing in terms of the constant change. And one of the enemies of cybersecurity professionals, I would say, is volatility, speed of change. We simply can't keep up. How did you personally stay so adaptable? Because I think you won your last Open in
49,
nearly 50.
Changed the strokes, the rackets changed, the strengths changed. So you have to adapt. I don't hit the ball the same way that I did when I was growing up.
Right.
Not even close. And you have to evolve. I learned completely new footwork at 31 years old.
Okay.
Because the game evolved, it changed. It used to be the close stance, now it's an open stance. But you couldn't do that with the old rackets. Open stance wouldn't work. But with the new rackets, the close stance doesn't work. So you have to adapt. I was always willing to go outside of my comfort zone and try new things. And if it doesn't work, I can always go back to doing it how I was doing it. But of course, in your world, things just change so much. You just have to be adaptable and not be afraid and embrace the change rather than fear it.
Yeah, and I think that's a big one for a lot of people in cyber, because they don't like change. You know, in the ideal world.
Well, they're in the wrong business then. They need to go to something else. Because imagine if you lived 20 years ago or 50 years ago with the code breakers during the World War II. It's a whole new ball game. So if you can't change, then you do something else.
Yeah, you have a problem. Even the greatest players, yourself included, of course, face losses and tough moments. And in cyber, no system is ever completely safe. Breaches will happen. What have you learned about bouncing back quickly? I was talking to somebody just before we came on air, and I was saying that, you know, when I watch tennis, quite often you'll see the score go to something like 30 love or maybe 40 love. And yet the person who's down doesn't give up. They still fight for every single point. Whereas perhaps somebody else might say, do you know what, 40 love, I'll just give that one away and I'll go again on the next.
You can't turn it on and off. You can't turn it on and off. You got to keep going every single time. So just because the score says something doesn't mean that you're like, oh, okay, never mind. When you lose, or you lose a point, you lose the game, you lose the match, then you try to figure out why. No system is bulletproof, no matter what. You may hit the best serve ever, but that person guessed and they get it back. It's how you bounce back from that. But nothing is bulletproof. You just need to figure out, where was the breach? How can we fix it and avoid doing it again? Because you may have bulletproof glass, but then somebody brings a bazooka. So good luck with that.
Yeah,
you just have to, again, be honest with yourself. And could you have done something differently? And if yes, then what? And then fix it and get on with it. And don't be living in the past. Just try to plug up the holes as much as you can.
Yeah.
But don't be cocky either. I think that's a problem too. Well, that's not possible. Yeah, it is, because it just happened. So deal with it.
Yeah.
Get on with it.
Yeah. Another thing I'd add to that as well is trying to move away from, well, I think we're getting better at it, but it's still too much of it going on, this blame culture. There was a breach, so therefore somebody must have been responsible for it. That isn't always the case.
Stuff happens.
Stuff happens. And actually, some of the losses or some of the breaches that take place are the best learning opportunities for people. Keeping on learning from things that didn't go as well as you might have thought.
Sometimes we get cocky and we think we're smarter than the other guy. Because I remember watching movies growing up here in Czech Republic. The Soviets were the good guys. The Nazis, the Americans were not that smart, and the Nazis were the bad guys. And then you watch the American movies and the Americans are the smart guys and the Nazis are still the bad guys and the Russians are not that smart. The intelligence is there everywhere. Whatever religion you are, what country you grew up, what the possibilities are. There are still bright people and the people that are not that smart, but you have to assume that people are just as smart, if not smarter than you.
Yeah.
Rather than think, oh, we're better than you because we're smarter than you. How do you know that?
Yeah.
That's not in your control. So again, control the controllables and don't get too clever for your own good.
We've all seen you as well stay so calm and composed in some of the biggest matches, some of the biggest points, even when everything was on the line. Cyber professionals deal with that same intensity during incidents and crises. What's your secret to staying focused when the pressure is at its highest?
Homework.
Really?
If you've done your homework, then there's nothing to worry about, right? It's going to an exam, and if you know all the answers to all the questions, then you don't need to be nervous about the exam. But if you're hoping to ask the right questions, because you only have those answers, then you get nervous. So if you've done the homework, if you've put in the time on the court with the technique, okay, I got it. Tactics, I got it. Fitness, I got it. Now it's just a matter of putting it together and know that the other guy is facing the same situation as you, same pressure. Maybe different pressure, but it's still pressure. Trust the process that you've done the homework, and now what? Hopefully you have that confidence in yourself to be able to handle that pressure, but everybody feels it. Everybody feels it.
Yeah.
That's how you deal with it. That matters.
They do. One final question, Martina, before I let you go. If you could leave everyone here with just one piece of advice from a champion's perspective about staying resilient and confident in the face of uncertainty, what would that be?
Again, I go back to loving what you do, because if you do, then you will do everything you can to be the best. And then any kind of a setback doesn't bother you because you just keep going, because you get up the next day and say, okay, how can I be the best person for this job today, whatever it is? And know that the only people that fail are the ones that don't do anything. Failure is a learning process. Without failing, how boring would life be? So it teaches us to stay with it, to stay strong, and embrace the process.
Martina, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for coming into the studio and sharing some of those insights today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with more expert insights and thought-provoking discussions. But in the meantime, if you really enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to rate, review, and share the podcast. If you're interested in becoming an ISEF member or continuing the conversation further, please do get in touch with me at steve.durbin@securityforum.org, or indeed get hold of me on LinkedIn. And remember, you can explore all our media and resources at our website, securityforum.org.